Hope that the outlines were, I know they're in the back. If you didn't get an outline, Mike, if you'd go ahead and grab them. And maybe Josiah, if anyone didn't get an outline, if you could raise your hand. I know they're handed out, so they're in the back. So go ahead and pass them out. This is hopefully a good quality. I was trying to put together a shorter devotional for tonight to leave a lot of time for fellowship and enjoyment and stuff, which we'll have. But I just kept on finding more that I wanted to put together for this lesson tonight with the Bible study and thankfulness. So what my desire tonight is to go through some of these things rather quickly. But I'd like to revisit this entire idea, this lesson again at a future time where we can spend some more time in the various passages. But the issue of thankfulness is important. I was listening to or reading a news story just the other day. You know, Thanksgiving is supposed to be one of the greatest, the most, you know, joyful times of the year, but it's always filled with so much stress and anxiety, and people are generally not thankful and not at peace. And it's good to remember, I think, what Christian thankfulness is and why thankfulness is important to the Christian in our lives. So I just wanted to begin. The first point in your outline there is, number one, the absence of thankfulness characterizes unbelievers. The absence of thankfulness characterizes unbelievers. Now, this may not seem like an attribute you don't want to think about when it comes to non-Christians or unbelievers, but this is repeatedly, it comes out in different descriptions throughout the Scriptures. For instance, if you wanted to think about the nation coming out of Egypt as generally rebellious, one of the things they continued to do was grumble and not be thankful for all that God had done for them. And one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament dealing with this subject is Numbers chapter 11, where after several years at this point in time of being fed by bread from heaven, that the Israelites are so fed up with manna, they're like, they almost can't even stand to say it. They had nothing to eat but this manna. It'd become loathsome to them. They'd stopped being thankful for what God had given to them, and they had begun to be just detesting it and remembering with fondness of that only time can do of the leeks, the food they had in Egypt. What thanklessness will make us see bondage in a better light. But not just that, one of the characteristics in Romans chapter 1 of this people who've been given over to their unbelief, one of the things that Paul throws in there is that they do not believe, that they are thankless. I'll just read here in verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God nor give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Again, Paul is describing a people that knew about God. They had no reason or no ability to deny his existence, but they refused to honor him or to give him thanks. And not just there, later on in 2 Timothy, Paul talks about people. He said difficult days will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. I mean, this is a long list of several things that are pretty significant. You also throw in there disobedient to parents and unthankful or ungrateful. Shows just this overall attitude of people who are rebellious against God. Even though they might hold to a form of godliness, one of the things that they are bereft of is thankfulness. And so, just think about the 10 lepers that were cleansed. 10 were cleansed, 9 went away, 1 came back thankful. That is I wouldn't say it's a ratio converter you can use on how people get blessed by God then get saved, but the idea is, 10 guys got healed, 1 guy got saved, and he was the one who was thankful. But the absence of thankfulness characterizes unbelievers. So on the opposite side of that, number 2, the presence of thankfulness characterizes Christian behavior. Thankfulness ought to characterize Christian behavior. Christians are those who have been transferred from death into life. This is more than enough reason to be continually and eternally grateful. I mean, if God did nothing more for us than just that, I have a problem even saying just that. But if he did nothing more for us than saving us eternally from condemnation, we have an undepletable reservoir of things for which to be thankful. Forever, every second that I will not be condemned is a reason for me to be thankful. And every second, every moment that I have been in a good relationship with God or somehow receiving his blessings in some form is a reason to be thankful to God. Thankfulness, among other things, is to be a governing attribute for the way in which Christians conduct themselves. Colossians 2. Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. We are those who've been blessed. The gospel is not God liked me because I had so much to offer or I was such a swell guy. But I'm grateful that he was merciful to me, a sinner. Only had demerited his favor, earned only condemnation. Or another verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just basically when Paul's giving these bullet point statements of what Christians are to be like, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks. That doesn't mean that I'm ecstatic about every single instance of my life. Things are hard, but in all things give thanks. Why? We understand what God is doing, that God is doing something far better, more marvelous in all things than I could even imagine. But it's to characterize our life in all things. Give thanks. Thirdly there, the model of Christian thankfulness is Christ Jesus. The model of thankfulness is Christ Jesus. Now this might seem an obvious point, but as it is when Jesus is the model for prayer, Jesus shows us what faith is like, remember that he is himself God. He was modeling thankfulness to the Father. He had a perfect understanding of everything that was going to happen. He had a plan. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew all these things. He knew that God would give him all that he needed to survive and to do his ministry. He taught that, but yet he modeled thankfulness regularly. I mean, a dozen times or more, just as the disciples or as the gospel writers are just talking about his ministry. After giving thanks, he broke bread. After giving thanks, he spoke to them. And it was always, he was characterized by giving thanks to God for what God had promised to already do. One of the blessings of the Christian life is we don't have to be anxious about what tomorrow brings. We know that God will give us what we need. But even knowing that, we can then be thankful for when we do receive it. And Christ modeled that. Again, he had a particular ministry that he was going to accomplish. In Mark 10:33, one of his first times when he says this, he says, "Behold, we are going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him, and 3 days later he will rise again." Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He was pointed like a laser beam at Jerusalem for that purpose. Nothing was going to thwart his mission. But even as he was working through the ministry that God had sent, that he'd been sent to do, he expressed thankfulness to the Father for the way it was accomplished. Think about Lazarus. As he's going to resurrect Lazarus, one of the things he says is this: "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." In other words, he thanked God for hearing him. I mean, for God to hear God it shouldn't be shocking, but Christ thanked the Father for hearing him. And that's something that we can be mindful of when we call out to God in prayer, like we did tonight. It is good to be ever mindful of the fact that we have the privilege and the blessing that God actually hears our prayers without us having to do some kind of weird incantation or contortion or other kinds of ritual ceremony. But Christ is the model of thankfulness. Fourthly, the value, the link between thankfulness and contentment. The link between thankfulness and contentment. I put this in here because as I was trying to think about thankfulness and what either helps or hinders thankfulness, contentment, or its cousin, or its bad cousin, discontentment and greed, can really hurt thankfulness. I thought this proverb was, whenever I come across this particular proverb, I always sit back and smile just because of the way it's worded. Proverbs 30, verses 15 and 16. The leech has two daughters. Give, give. There are three things that will not be satisfied, four that will not say enough. Sheol and the barren womb, earth that is never satisfied with water, and fire that never says enough. Again, the writer is trying to describe the veracity of greed, or the leech. A famous American, and I forget the guy's name, business tycoon, you know, how much money would you like to have? Oh, just a little more. I need all the money you could ever want. I just need a little more. It's all I want. You're never going to be able to feed that unless if you're not content with what God has given to you, you're never going to be content at all. The Christian is to trust God to provide for what we need for us. In other words, Matthew chapter 6, don't be anxious. God will provide. Look at how he feeds the birds or clothes the lilies. Don't allow that sinful anxiety to take a hold of you and to be undone because of it. God will provide what we need. But also, not just that, Luke 12, we'll look at either this week or next week on Sunday morning. Don't even worry when they bring you before the courts when they're going to accuse you. Don't worry about what you're going to say. If you are in Christ and you are doing your best to be his faithful, obedient servant, you'll have the words to say. Don't worry about what you're going to say when someone asks you to call to account what you believe or to give an answer for your faith. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say. That he gives us not just the sustenance we need, but even the help when it comes to our spiritual or even our interaction with the world. And that we must be content with what he does provide. 1 Timothy 6:8. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Or Philippians 4:11 to 13. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both in having abundance and in suffering. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. There is a lesson to be learned in contentment and then thankfulness with what God has given to us in our where we're at in our lives. Fifthly, the value that thankfulness has in our war against sin. The value that thankfulness has in our war against sin. Now, if you were to, you know, asked me earlier this week, even as I'm getting ready to study or put together this Bible study, this one might not have just jumped out at me right away because it's not one that I think of as an initial benefit or reason to seek thankfulness. But think about this. James speaks a lot about the tongue, how it's a restless evil, full of deadly poison, and it's so easy to do wickedness that with the same tongue we both curse men and praise God. And while we may not need much opportunity to give way to those kinds of evils, intentionally seeking to offer thanks to God is a way to deny the tongue the opportunity for evil. Ephesians 5 says this. I'll begin reading verse 3. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness, silly talk, or coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. Let me just paraphrase that for you. If you are habitually giving God thanks with your mouth, you won't have time to say foolish things, coarse jokes, bad language, or hurtful words. Giving thanks with your lips starting with your heart, hopefully, but giving thanks with your lips is a good way to combat sinning with your tongue. If you have trouble keeping a handle on your words and on your tongue, this might be one of those things that the Lord can give you to help you in that battle, is give thanks for the things that He has done. And furthermore, I love this verse, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but such that is a word is good for the edification according to the need of the moment, that will give grace to those who hear. Thankfulness, expressing thankfulness to God for what He's done, or what He is doing and will do, fits all those criteria. And finally, an excess of thankfulness is impossible. An excess of thankfulness is impossible. There is no way that we can be too thankful. You know, there is too much of a good thing, like desserts. There's too much of a good thing. No. But in this, there is no such thing as being too much thankfulness. I don't want to brag or anything, but I memorized half of Psalm 136 this afternoon. It has about 26 verses, and I memorized half of it. The half I memorized is, His loving kindness is everlasting. That is repeated 26 times throughout the psalm. Obviously, the other half is a lot harder to memorize. It's taking longer than a moment, you know. But the idea is, open your Bibles to Psalm 136. Just, and I'm going to read this whole psalm, because this maybe is a good illustration of thankfulness. And we can look at what the psalmist brings out and speaking of thankfulness. So Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. This is just talking about who He is. Already three verses filled with thanksgiving. Verse 4, to Him alone who does great wonders, to Him who alone does great wonders, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who made the stars with skill, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who made the great lights, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Now just to stop there as we go on, one of the first things my wife teaches the children in school, you know, is thank you, Lord, for the beautiful moon. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful stars. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. Now, simple. A child is brought to mind that God made the sun, the moon, the stars. But this is what the psalmist has been referring to, the creation of all these things. His loving kindness is everlasting. For the sun to rule the day, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And brought Israel out from their midst, for His loving kindness is everlasting. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, for His loving kindness is everlasting, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His loving kindness is everlasting. But He overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His loving kindness is everlasting. I mean, just there, we talk about the Exodus, the bringing out of Egypt of the nation of Israel. No small miracle that God did. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who smote the great kings, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And slew mighty kings, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And Og, king of Bashan, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And gave their land as a heritage, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Even a heritage to His servant Israel, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Again, this is God being a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God. He said, I would give Abraham all this, and he was doing it by overthrowing mighty nations. God did what he said he was going to do. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and has rescued us from our adversaries, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Who gives food to all flesh, for his loving kindness is everlasting. It is not just God who feeds me and my family. He feeds all flesh, the birds, the beasts. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. That was 26 verses, starting with who God is, what he's done in creation, what he's done with Israel. We could add verses in our own hearts of what he's done through Christ, what he's done in my life, in the lives of my family and loved ones, or in general. So many things. And that's just without thinking too hard sometimes. We cannot come to an excess of thanksgiving. It is impossible. And sometimes our inability to be thankful reveals a whole different kind of problem. So my encouragement is, in this time, the next week, you know, and we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving, some with family and friends, others, whatever, however you get together and do those things. If you have unsaved relatives, be thankful for the God of heaven, for what he's given to you, opportunities to be with family, to share the gospel with those who don't know, to be part of a community that reveres the word of God and honors God in the way that he has commanded. So let's be Christians who are thankful and remember that there are so many things about thankfulness. It's not just this thing you do before you go to bed or before you eat your dinner. But with everything, give thanks in all things and for God. And we should be able to give thanks in all times and all ways for all he's done, even in all circumstances. I'm going to close in prayer, and I'll pray for our food, and we can then have some fun and fellowship. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you've shown us so many things and given us just an inexhaustible reservoir of reasons to be thankful to you, from your creation of the world to the sending of Christ, to his bearing of our sin in his body on the tree, to his resurrection from the dead victoriously, to the gift of the Spirit to be our helper now, to the promise that we have an inheritance, a home that you are preparing for us, and that you will come back for us. So many things. May we be a thankful people. May we be known by our love and characterized by our thankfulness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.